This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
To Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning. Lots to cover this hour, Abdallah, because listen, we have live sports back. UFC had their event last night, 249 in Jacksonville, Florida. I know there were no fans, but we got to watch it. There was a pay-per-view event. It was awesome to see live sports back and rolling.
You know what was weird, actually? And I saw this, a tweet from Darren Revelle, and he quote tweeted. So one of the prelim fights, it was the women's strawweight battle between Esparza and Watterson, right? So Esparza heard the commentators critiquing the way she was fighting and saying she wasn't doing enough switching between her strikes and her wrestling. And so she switched it and won the fight. She switched it up and won the fight because her corner wasn't calling a good enough fight. And when she heard Daniel Cormier talk about it, she did it on her own. And it's one of those weird instances where, like, I think the only other sport that would be affected that way is the NBA, where, like, the NBA, hear the commentators. You know, like, some of these guys in the NBA have
Could you imagine how touchy Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving would get they heard Mark Jackson talking?
You are waiting for my copy of the Winning Machine?
Your thoughts on Durant. Go ahead.
I just read that whole chapter. Whoo, that boy is soft and petty.
Yeah.
Soft and petty.
Uh-huh.
Like, and that's not a secret. Like, I'm not having a hot take here. Like, dude is sensitive about everything. Like, he listens to and reads everything and goes through the tweets. This is not a secret. I'm not throwing out, like new information here. This is out there. But just the degrees and the layers that it goes into. And you're going to love it. But, like, can you imagine if you hear, like, Jeff Van Gundy critiquing you on the sideline? Because, like, you can hear, there's no crowd. You can hear all of that stuff. And that's also one of the sports that I was interested in when they were talking about not having fans, and that idea was nixed quickly because then obviously the season was canceled. The Warriors were about to have a game with no fans, and then they were just like, nope, no game, sorry, never mind. Yeah. And I was wondering, like, the players talk a lot of trash to each other. They swear a lot. We've all been watching The Last Dance. They swear. They swear at each other. We can never hear it. We hear it sometimes, right? You'll hear an F-bomb every once in a while. You'll hear something like that every once in a while. You know, Joakim Noah used to always slip them in. You could hear them when he would play every once in a while. But ultimately, now with no crowd, you're going to hear those all the time. And they're going to be on such a delay, and it's going to sound like an acceptance speech at where they swear at an awards show, where, like, all of a sudden there's just no sound because the delay. Like, it happened a few times in the UFC fights yesterday where someone was, I forget which fight, but the fighter was swearing. And he was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. And Joe Rogan was like, no, don't worry about it. Don't bleep it. We're on a delay.
Well, and then you have Joe Rogan announcing to the no one's here.
Yeah.
There's that clip that's going around on social media. And then also, I think it was Spann. Didn't he at one point say something during his fight back to his team? And the announcers were like, oh, he's like openly having a conversation about strategy as the fight is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like how that kind of played out last night. I thought it was awesome. And then also, we're keeping our eyes on this Ken Rosenthal story in The Athletic about the plan for baseball. The owners will get a proposal tomorrow, and then the owners, if they approve the proposal for baseball in 2020, will then send it to the players' union on Tuesday. So, you know, Monday and Tuesday could be very big days for Major League Baseball in completing a season in 2020. So a lot to kind of look at here for the sports world and a lot of live sports trying to get things back going. And this week we had the schedule release for the NFL. A Abdallah, here are the 10 games I'm looking at and I'm looking forward to in the NFL this season. Not Bears related. We get it. We're all very excited and pumped up for all these Bears games.
Oh,
all
yeah.
16.
Oh, I can't wait.
Some better than others,
yes.
Obviously. When Tom Brady comes to Soldier Field, I'm interested. When the Bears play the Vikings, when the Bears play the Packers, I'm interested.
Yes.
Will Deshaun Watson have something up his sleeve?
Ooh.
For the Chicago Bears when he visits.
We got Watson versus Watson yesterday, huh?
So there's a lot of good Bears games on the schedule, but this is my list of the 10 games I'm looking forward to most.
Cool.
Not related to the Bears. Number one, do you want one or which way do you want to go?
Give me a David Letterman style top 10.
All right, number 10. Week 11, Minnesota travels to Dallas.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to this game because both teams, I think, are projected to be playoff teams. And at that point in the season, week 11, we're going to have an idea whether or not Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings and all their draft picks and what we saw them accomplish in this offseason are still going to be a playoff team. I know it'll have an impact on the Bears season, so it's something I'm keeping my eyes on. And also, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, I think they're going to be good. I like that they drafted CeeDee Lamb in the first round, and I think they are going to be a team that's very good this season. So Vikings, Cowboys, week 11 is my number 10.
I like that game. I think that the Cowboys are, I don't know what they're doing with Dak Prescott, but they're not handling it the right way. I don't know if he's going to hold out. Who knows? But ultimately, a game where you'll see the Bears either in the hunt or not in the hunt that late in the season, but that is a, you know, Kirk Cousins. Is that a primetime game? It's got to be a primetime game. Vikings-Cowboys? I believe. Doesn't matter. Regardless, it's a great game. Well, I was going to do the whole Kirk Cousins in primetime is crap, but that, you know, like if there's no fans, doesn't matter.
You had that take ready to go.
I had that take ready to go. The Kirk Cousins in primetime is crap, but ultimately, I don't think it matters because there's not going to be any fans in the stands, so maybe that doesn't affect them as much.
That will be the America's Game of the Week.
America, of course. Well, look, either the Cowboys or Tom Brady are going to be on America's Game of the Week every game.
So Cowboys at Vikings, America's Game of the Week. That's a 3:25 start on Sunday. Number nine on my list is these two teams will play twice because they're in the same division. There's very few of these interdivision games on my list, but this one coming in at number nine, whenever New Orleans and Tampa Bay play, they'll play in week one and week nine. I'm interested in that matchup.
That could be the most hyped game besides, you know, Watson Mahomes for the first game of the season, right? Breeze, Brady, how is Brady going to look with the new offense, with the new team, with everything? What kind of a preseason are we going to have for him to get acclimated? What kind of a training camp are we going to have for him to get acclimated? All those questions. And then going up against Drew Brees, who feels like, you know, like I feel like the Saints could show up tomorrow and play and be on the same page with everything, as familiar as Drew Brees and Sean Payton are with each other. So, yeah, I don't know about the second game of that series, but the first game to me, I mean, after Mahomes and Watson, that's my number two game of that weekend, obviously. You know, Bears and Lions is going to be great, but as far as like a national perspective, you've got Watson and Mahomes to kick off the season, and then you've got Brady Breeze on Sunday at 3:25 for the first week of the season. It's going to be a great game.
10 games I'm looking forward to in the NFL season coming up. Number eight, I'm going to give you another America's Game of the Week. The Green Bay Packers travel to Tampa Bay. 3:25 game on a Sunday. That's week six. Packers and Bucks. Now listen.
For your third America's Game of the Week.
That is a old-time classic rivalry. Some of the early 2000s games, the late 90s. Bucks and Packers. Something that I'll enjoy watching and looking forward to. Tom Brady going against Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they don't technically go against each other, Chris. They go against each other's defenses.
You get the gist.
Yeah, I mean, they can't actually, like, Rodgers can't beat Brady because he doesn't actually face Brady. He faces Brady's defense, and then Brady faces the Packers' defense and so on and so forth.
Yeah, we get
next
it.
Next game.
Yep. Oh, next game. All right.
We got to keep a clock here. We got to go start going through these here. What are we going to take a full hour to go through this schedule?
Number seven, week two, Texans, Ravens. I mean, that is a hell of a matchup.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson Lamar Jackson, the next two guys up after Patrick Mahomes when you're looking at the young guns in the NFL as far as quarterbacks who we hopefully project out to being great for the long term. That's a game I'm looking forward to. Week two, Texans and Ravens.
I feel like that was high on every, because everybody puts out these lists, right? And on after we got the schedule on Thursday, Friday, the hot thing was to go through these games. That was number one on a few people's list. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Ravens defense, Chiefs, if they find a defense, you know, like it, that's going to be a great game.
Number six, I'm going to give you, let's go to week 12. Let's take the Kansas City Chiefs at Tampa Bay. I know Tampa Bay has been on the list a few times already, but week 12, that's going to be a huge game. It's the only game going at 3:25 on CBS in week 12, and that is the same week as Thanksgiving.
How many games do you have? Because I'm not going to, because this is a great game, obviously, but how many games do you have that involve Brady or Mahomes?
There is seven games.
Seven out of eight. Yeah. 7 out of 10 games involve Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. Okay.
Number five, the Cowboys and the 49ers, week 15. Old school, 90s.
Oh, man.
I like that combination.
Get some grainy footage for that pregame intro.
And listen, a lot of this has to do with, I think, not only are the Cowboys always interesting, but I think they're going to be a good team. Week four, Baltimore, Kansas City. Week three, Monday night. That's a contest I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. Ravens, Chiefs, week three.
Great game.
Monday night.
Great game.
Number four.
Great game.
Number three, the Saints and the Chiefs. They face off in week 15.
Still haven't mentioned the game that I'm looking forward to, but that's okay.
All right, got two more.
Great game. Great game.
Number two, the Saints and the 49ers in week 10. Remember last season? That was an outstanding game.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
I'm interested to see what the 49ers do with Jimmy Garoppolo this year, right? I'm interested to see if how much he's reined in, or if he's going to be allowed to sling it around as much as he did, because he put them in compromising situations last year. And remember the playoffs, they took the ball out of his hand and turned into a run first team. So I'm interested to see if he can kind of corral some of his errant throws that he's had the past few years.
Okay. And my number one is the opener, Kansas City, Houston.
Of course.
Week one. That's the number one game I'm excited for.
Did not mention
Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. There's my number one. That's
number
my 10 games that I'm looking forward to for the NFL schedule, not related to the Bears.
My honorable mention, and you didn't mention this, is did you know that this year, on Friday, December 25th, Christmas Day,
I did know this,
there is a football game.
Yeah.
We have Vikings at Saints at 3:30 for whatever reason. There's an NFL game on Christmas Day. I'm fine with it. I like it. Play it. It's a great game too. It's Vikings Saints. It could matter for the Bears. It could matter for as far as seeding goes.
Well, it was instead of the Thursday game, it is a Friday game.
Yeah, instead of playing Christmas Eve, they're playing Christmas Day.
I like that.
So do I.
Did not make the list.
No, I don't. I mean, it's a marquee. It's the only game that day. It's in the afternoon. It's not in the evening. You know, you have your NBA in the morning, hopefully, and then you've got this at night afternoon.
You want to know honestly why that didn't make the list?
Hmm.
Is because I already accounted for the Vikings and the Saints, and they play bigger games that I'm more interested in than that one game, even though you can make the argument. You know, I gave you the spiel about the Cowboys
it's week
and the
16.
Vikings.
This is huge for In the Hunt.
No, I know. I agree.
This is prime hunting season.
Well, what if the Saints are like locked in as the number one seed?
Okay.
They already got that bye. Like, potential that this could get one of those situations where Minnesota needs to get in. It doesn't matter to the Saints.
It could, or it could be super meaningful to both teams, because it's not week 17, it's still week 16.
It certainly could.
You can't downplay my game like that. I hyped up all your games.
No, no.
And all you do is crap on my game.
Christmas Day.
No, like, I hyped up all
Santa
of your games.
Santa in the crowd.
I hyped up all of your games.
The only fans there will be dressed as Santa Claus.
Well, they're Saints fans, so they always show up dressed up, because like those fans are nuts in a good way. Good nuts. Just let that breathe.
All right, coming up next, we talk with Colin Wilson from the Action Network. He's really good on the NFL and college football as far as gambling. We'll take a look at some of the win totals as we head into the 2020 NFL season. Colin Wilson, next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
week I was looking up win total numbers in the NFL, and I saw that the Chicago Bears were sitting at 8.5 wins for next season. Thinking to myself, okay, that seems like a perfect number, really, because I feel like in this town, a lot of people think this team can be a playoff team. And then there's equally pushback to that, saying, you know what, there are a lot of things that went wrong last year, but there are a lot of things that kind of went their way, which I don't expect that to happen again. So I could see it going under the 8.5, and 8.5 was kind of a good number, because I think a lot of people, when they saw the schedule come out, were sitting at 8-8. Did you check this? I'm seeing this morning on websites, Sportsbook has the Bears over-under for next season today at 8 wins.
Yeah, and it's pretty much, it's equal juice either way. They're minus 110, whether it's over 8 or under 8. I like having the cushion of the push at 8 wins, because I believe they are a 9-7 or 8-8 team. So I don't know if I'd go, I don't think they can win 7, they're going to win 7 games, right? They've got to win 8 games.
We can rule out 6, right? They're good enough to not win 6.
If the defense,
so like eliminate 6-10 from the possibilities.
Health,
right?
Is an issue, right? But throwing out anybody getting injured, this defense can win 6 games with the offense punting on first down.
Let's talk to one of our favorite gambling guests, Colin Wilson from the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter at _Colin1 is his handle, and Colin joins us throughout the football season. He joins us now. Colin, when you hear the Bears number is sitting at 8 wins for next season, how would you kind of play that right now?
I think that number is exactly what it needs to be, sitting on 8. The draft, you know, they went and got a tight end in the second round. They got some defensive pieces to help out Khalil Mack. The guy they got from Tulsa, I think, is going to be in the backfield all day. He was known for tackles for loss. So you're beefing up a defense, and then on offense, you're still going to be kind of between Trubisky and Nick Foles. So it feels like an 8-8 season. The schedule is an 8-8 season. And frankly, as far as if you're a Bears fan and you want to play the number, the last two games of the season are against the Jags and against the Packers. And that Packers game is probably going to have the Packers shaded a point or two as a favorite there, which means on the money line, you're going to get maybe a plus 125, plus 130. So instead of playing an over 8, which would, you know, you'd have to get the 9 wins, or, you know, sweating through having 7 wins and getting to 8, I would just wait and play the last game of the season, because you're probably going to get plus money on the Packers.
Would it affect how you're betting this, whether or not it's Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, the ceiling's higher with Nick Foles. I mean, the questions with Mitch Trubisky and his ceiling, and how much of A's offense can he actually ingest, those questions are not going to go away. That's going to be the theme for the Bears throughout the entire season. And who knows, it may come down to the leg of a kicker to see about this win total. Frankly, if I'm in the mindset, if I'm a fan of an NFL team, if it's going to be bad, I want it to be real bad, especially if I have some questions at the quarterback position, because Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are coming out of next year, and they're not the only quarterbacks coming out next year. There's a crop of quarterbacks next year that are going to really – the pure NFL talent. So if the wheels are going to fall off, I would want them to really fall off this year, because those quarterback situations, those problems are going to get remedied next year.
Colin Wilson from the Action Network joining Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. When I look at the odds to win the NFC North, right now I'm seeing the Packers and the Vikings both at plus 180. The Bears would be in third at plus 400. Is there a way you would lean as far as who could win the NFC North right now?
I actually think it's wide open. I have some serious issues with the Packers. I know I placed a bet in Vegas on the Packers not to make the playoffs. I believe that number was plus 120 that we had the other day. And there's a problem between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I think the whole thing with Mike McCarthy there was, I don't want Aaron Rodgers improvising, leaving the pocket, doing whatever he wanted. And now there's reports coming out of Green Bay that LaFleur is like, you know, he's having the same problems with Aaron Rodgers, and there's a conflict of interest there. And if you go and look at the draft, they went and got Jordan Love, a quarterback, and then they got two running backs out of the draft. And if you know anything about Matt LaFleur, he was the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans, and they were the most rush-dominant teams in the league. And by this draft, by getting two running backs, that makes me think that he wants to take the ball more out of Aaron Rodgers' hand and run the ball more. So I don't like what's going on off the field with the Packers. It doesn't sound like things are going good internally with the Packers. So I think overall, The NFC North is kind of a crapshoot. I wouldn't lay money on the Packers. You know, if the Bears, if Foles comes in, like I said, the ceiling is higher. They have a chance to win it. The Vikings are always strong. But I do not like the Packers in this division.
So not talking about the playoffs, because both win totals for the Vikings and the Packers are at 9. The Bears are at 8. Which team is more likely out of those three to win double-digit games?
Probably the Vikings. You know, they had, a couple of tough luck losses last year, a couple of them that they should have won, had a better record. They made the playoffs before. They're excellent, you know, have an excellent coach. Have a great defense. So definitely the Vikings, I think, have the highest ceiling of any team in the NFC North.
It's even money at 9 right now. I might have to hold on a second here.
Colin Wilson from the Action Network talking gambling and the NFL with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So Thursday, the NFL schedule comes out. Colin, is there anything you do when you take a look at the schedule coming out and then seeing those week one lines get posted in Vegas? Was there any opportunity there that you saw and said, okay, there's something I can take advantage of for week one of the NFL season?
Yeah, absolutely. The very first bet that I made immediately right after the schedule got released was to bet on Denver against the Titans in week one. That spread opened up around 1, 1.5 at most shops. There is still Jersey shops that are posting 1.5. Some of the Vegas shops moved all the way up to Denver -4. And, you know, putting all the draft things aside about what I love about Denver this year, getting Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, they now have the explosiveness to hang with the Chiefs, at least from an explosive offensive point of view. And I think there's just, it's known throughout gamblers that Denver week one and week two has covered the spread against every team with the exception of maybe twice in the last, I think our database at Action Network goes back to 2005. And specifically, if you look at point spreads that are within 3 points, the Broncos have only lost one game since 2005 against the spread at home in week one and week two. And a lot of that goes to the altitude. If you think about the Tennessee Titans, they play at an altitude of about 500 feet. Travel into Denver, you're playing above 5,000 feet. So it's an adjustment for teams when they come in there to play for the first time. And not to mention, I just love what Denver did with the draft. I think they're headed in the right direction. And Tennessee, you want to talk about teams that got lucky last year. Tennessee was handed, was gifted 2 wins of their 9 wins last year. So that's definitely a point spread I jumped on immediately.
One of the things you wrote for NFL future bets, win totals and playoff picks to make after the schedule release is the Colts to make the playoffs. Why do you like the Colts so much in this situation?
I think it started about 2 weeks ago when I put a bet on Jonathan Taylor to win Rookie of the Year. And I know that a lot of people are focused on Joe Burrow. A lot of people are focused on Tua or maybe some other quarterbacks. This is a quarterback running back award. And Jonathan Taylor is, I can't even explain to people that don't follow Big Ten football or know what he's done at Wisconsin about how much of a workhorse he has been to that Wisconsin team. And the knock against him was, well, he's not really a receiver out of the backfield, doesn't really catch the ball. Have you not watched any Wisconsin football? They don't throw the ball. They're generally in rushing downs in first, second, and third down, so they haven't really had a need to throw into the backfield. But last year, Jonathan Taylor had, I think, 30 targets and a handful of 26 receptions. He has the hands to scoot. I mean, he got plenty of yaks on those catches last year. And I think with Phillip Rivers, there's something I put in the article that said he's one of the biggest checkdown quarterbacks in the entire league. So, you know, Jonathan Taylor is going to see the ball a lot, not just rushing behind one of the best offensive lines, but he's going to be catching the ball a lot. So the whole Jonathan Taylor thought for Rookie of the Year led into the Colts and their schedule, which strength of schedule purposes, Indianapolis Colts are 32nd in the league. That division, Jacksonville, should be atrocious. I believe the Texans have kind of hit their ceiling. There's just a very good path for the Colts to either win the division, make the playoffs, easiest schedule. I think Phillip Rivers is an upgrade from what they had at quarterback last year. Jonathan Taylor is going to be bigger than people think. This is a Colts team that 2 years ago was pushing Kansas City in the AFC in the playoffs. And people kind of forget that. They kind of had a bad luck season last year. I think the Colts are going to return to at least a 9-win team, win the division, go to the playoffs.
Two teams I'm keeping my eyes on, both are sitting at 6 wins for the win total in Vegas, would be the Carolina Panthers and the Miami Dolphins. Is there a team that's on the lower end of the win total that you look at and say, that team could be sneaky good this year?
Yeah, I actually have an opinion on both of those teams. One is I love Miami this year because they have a feeling that the Patriots are going to drop off. I kind of agree with him. I hate to go against Belichick. I want to see it first. But I think they have a feeling that the division is open, that the Bills maybe got a little bit lucky last year with how many wins they had, and now everybody's going to be gunning for them. No one's going to think the Bills are an underdog. New England's taking a step back. Miami actually has some energy with their, you know, their second-year coach, you know, from the defensive side of the ball, and then getting Tua, who probably won't play for the first four games. I think Miami's going to exceed their win total, and I really like them to go over their win total of six. On the flip side with Carolina, I think Matt Rhule is great. I've been betting on Matt Rhule at Temple. I've been betting on Matt Rhule at Baylor. He has been an Action Network MVP for making us a lot of money. But what people don't realize is that his defensive coordinator has followed him all the way from Temple to Baylor and now to Carolina, which is Phil Snow, I believe, and Al Snow. I think Phil Snow is a wrestler. Al Snow's a wrestler. Sorry. Phil Snow. So Phil Snow has a very complicated defensive scheme, and I know that these are professionals and this is the NFL level, but he can go from a 2-7-2 to a 4-3-5. He switches schemes. It's a very, very complicated defense. And if you look at the first year at Temple, the first year at Baylor, the defensive numbers have been terrible because the concepts have been so extremely complex. And I know that we're now at the professional level and the players should be able to grasp it quicker. But Carolina is a team where I want Rhule to get his, just kind of dig in his feet. I want the defensive players to grasp the concepts. I'm not promoting an under, but I would not take an over, and I would not bet on Carolina until those players and that system are all in check.
What about a team that's just going to be garbage this year? Like the Bengals is at 5.5. The Redskins are right there at like 5. Which team do you know that you can say that team is just going to be really bad next year?
I don't understand for the life of me how the Bengals go from 2-14 to a win total of 5.5, I think is what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Because you got Joe Burrow. Listen, Joe Burrow just had the most immaculate college football season of any quarterback ever played. I can't even begin to tell people how accurate he was and how clutch he was. But there's just a dumpster fire of a defensive front seven when it comes to defending the rush. Teams ran all over them. They gave up the most yards of any team in the league. They have the worst ranking on PFF of any team as far as defending the rush. And you go look at what they did in the draft. They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to address those problems. So it's great that you've got AJ Green. It's great that you went out and got T. Higgins, who is just massively, I mean, I know people know who T. Higgins is if you're a follow Clemson, but just massively underrated how great I think he's going to be. But Joe Burrow could put up 30 points a game and they're not going to win because other teams are just going to run the ball, control the clock, and I mean, Cincinnati's not going to be able to stop anybody. I would take a lot of overs during the season, but I would take a season win total under 5.5. They're just not four games better with Joe Burrow.
Colin, thank you for always making time for us during the football season. It was good to get some football conversation in now. We always appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
That's Colin Wilson from the Action Network. He's really good on gambling on the NFL and college football. Follow him on Twitter at @Colin1. Bleck and Abdallah here with you on ESPN 1000. For our Bulls backstory, coming up next, Michael Jordan returns.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Bleck and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing the show, Colin Wilson for joining this show, and if you want to hear the podcast of Colin Wilson, check out the Bleck and Abdallah podcast on ESPN Chicago's podcast. Just download it and find us right there, Bleck and Abdallah. Huebner and Xander coming up next from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 1000. Before we go any farther, Abdallah, how about a shout-out to our moms? Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Hey. Shout-out. Shout-out, Shauna.
Shout-out.
She's not listening.
Oh, my mom is listening. So my you can say happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Happy
and then
Mother's Day, Diane.
We can just replay this for your
to
mom.
To you, the dogs, to everybody.
Yeah.
I've had. My mom
happy
doesn't
Mother's
listen.
Day.
My mom doesn't listen.
It's all right. I think my
I don't
mom
blame
listens
her. She doesn't
to all
like,
the shows. So,
yeah.
So she's got
Yeah, Shauna covered. No, I'm not trying to say my mom needs to listen. I don't blame her. Look, if she doesn't like sports, I don't. What are we talking about here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. You can also download our Bulls Backstory podcast. We've now done the Bulls and the Knicks, the Bulls and the Magic, the Jordan Shrug game, the flu game, Steve Kerr's game winner in 97 to win the fifth championship, Jordan switching hands, and then today Jordan returning against the Pacers.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I have to call my mom, obviously, today. It's Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Because I can't go see her. She lives in Florida, so it's not like I can't see her because of the pandemic. I just can't see her in general because she lives in Florida.
Well, you could, but you're lazy.
Do I need to carve out time for a special phone call, or can I call her on my drive home?
You're going to need a special phone call there.
Okay, so I need the on the way home phone call isn't enough.
No.
Like the time it would take, is it a time thing or is it because I'm just getting it out of the way out of convenience because I'm driving home?
Yeah, you have to be sitting dedicated to the phone call.
Okay.
You can't be doing something else.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
That's not going to work.
Like, I mean, because it's probably going to be the same amount of time.
No, I understand. Listen, if anyone understands, I get it.
I'm just wondering, like, she's not going to, like,
here.
Okay, all right. So it's, I shouldn't just say, get in the car, call my mom, be like, hey, happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, right.
Talk to
her. And then if she doesn't pick up, you kind of have to wait there.
Ugh.
If she doesn't pick up,
then now she's on my time. I'll call her back.
On Mother's Day, wow.
Well, right. No, because, like, what else is she doing right now? What else is she doing?
She's waiting for your phone call, which you haven't called her yet.
She could be golfing.
Are you aware that Jamie Foxx is going to play Mike Tyson in a movie?
Sounds about right. They both have head tattoos.
Yeah, and did you see yesterday Candace Parker's IG Live?
Yes.
She was talking with Jamie Foxx, and he was doing impersonations and going through them. Did you hear this?
Yeah, he's very talented.
Here, take a listen.
Impression that I've ever heard. Well, you do it from music, right? Right.
Yeah, music.
You learn the octaves of music?
Yeah. You learn the tone first. So if it's... And then certain people have certain things, like Jay-Z. This is weird. Jay-Z and my Sammy Davis Jr. and my Kermit the Frog are the same thing.
Okay, because Jay-Z was asking to do Kermit. She was asking.
So Kermit is like, Kermit the Frog, Sesame Street, he was here with the Three Little Pigs. But if I drop the octave, it's crazy. So I'm going to start off in Mossy Projects.
Yo.
That would be
so pretty good.
And then it's Sammy Davis Jr. Because sometimes when... So that's the same thing, and there's a certain thing that I do with my throat. And then when it comes to, like, say a Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, it's a little bit of this. It's this. There's that. And this. Because when you think about it, it's Dave Chappelle. And he talks very smart, because he'll say a very smart word to go with his ghetto. I was incensed. I was chartreused. I was beside myself. And then it's a pow! But that's the young Chappelle. The older Chappelle, who's smoking cigarettes, got the alcohol, working out kind of beef. Man, see, that's what they said about Michael Jackson, man. That's what they said. That's what they said he would do, man. And I was pissed about that. So now it's a matter of getting the demeanor. And then if you look at Mike Tyson, a lot of people do Mike Tyson like this. Mike Tyson, can't wait, blah, 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 blah. But Mike's actual voice, when you call him and talk to him on the phone, is what I'm going to do when we do his movie. Is this, I say, Mike, how you doing? All praise to Allah, my brother. I'm happy. How are you? I'm good, man. What's up? So I'm happy. You know? I don't have all the crazy people around me anymore. I have the money, all that crazy. I don't have any vultures around me.
Pretty crazy, right?
No, listen,
he is
Jamie
so
Foxx
talented.
Is uber talented. Like what he did in Ray and like everything, he's uber. Listen, Oscar, done. For Mike Tyson.
But yeah, so another.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's already collected the hardware.
I know.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 in the ESPN Chicago. I found him doing Doc Rivers too on The Tonight Show, but we ran out of time.
Sorry, I had to ask you about my mom.
No, I mean, it was okay. I mean, you got to make the call.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.